Husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness.
We welcome you to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Gospel Solutions for Families is a program that promotes gospel living amid the everyday challenges and opportunities of marriage and family life. Today we are talking about making General Conference more meaningful in our home. I'm Matthew O. Richardson, second counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency, and today I'm joined with Aaron Sanderson, who is a primary general board member. Welcome, Aaron.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you again. This is actually the second of a series that we have done, and you were with us last time as well. And I learned so much from you. And it was a pleasure to have you. Tell us a little bit about your family very quickly.
Well, we have seven children, and we only have two that are married. And expecting our second grandchild next week.
So. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they live in Texas, but I get to go down. So
oh, that's nice. Of your other children, are they in your home or are they close by?
Yeah, they're all close by. Not all in our home. We still have several at home.
Oh, that's great. Well, good. So you're in the thick of all things.
Yes, and we love it.
That is so good. We also have Linda Burton with us, who is the Relief Society General President. Welcome.
Thank you.
It's so good to have you. And you were with us on our previous experience talking about conference, which I felt went too fast because we were having such a grand discussion about different things. I was learning so much, but also grateful that we were able to talk again. So.
Me too. Thank you for the opportunity.
Tell us a little bit about your family.
I have six children and 19 grandchildren, two on the way, and we are just delighted to share in this experience and learn some more about General Conference.
Isn't family an adventure?
It is an adventure.
Nothing but.
Well, I even remember, and it's not just having children that makes it adventurous. I remember getting married and thinking, holy cow, my first family home evening, here I am, a young man, and with my wife, we were just in college. I mean, we had so much of life ahead of us, and we're sitting down having our first family home evening, just two of us, in an apartment that probably should have been condemned, and thinking,
you must have taken over ours.
Most likely, that could be. And I remember thinking, good grief, what are we doing? We're doing family home evening as a little couple here. And it was a little awkward, to be truthful, to start off, but it has been a joyous adventure, actually. And then as our circumstances have changed, as our family dynamics have changed, I can't help but think it has been an adventure all the way through. It's been an adventure.
And we're back to two in our house, and it's even more fun.
Oh, that is so great. That is so great. Well, we're going to continue our conversation about General Conference and how we can make General Conference more meaningful. In our previous episode, we talked about purposes of General Conference and why it's so unique and some of the things that we can glean. We actually also talked about a few things that we could do to prepare for conference and to make it more meaningful by coming with our cup open, questions, seeking answers, discussion, etc. I'm hoping that we might be able to address some more specifics on this time around and pick your brains and your hearts a little bit. There are some challenges, and I don't mean this in a negative way. It's not meant to be negative at all. But just the dynamics of General Conference, there are some unique challenges with making them meaningful in family life. For example, it is 2 days, and so there is a challenge, for example, for some individuals on Saturday session, there's a lot of things going on. We have family commitments, etc. And so that's a challenge that maybe we can talk a little bit about is how we can incorporate General Conference, especially the Saturday, because sometimes for me, Saturday sessions have some real gems,
yes.
You know, and we might miss it thinking, oh, this is the optional session. And I don't think any part of General Conference is ever deemed optional. Challenges of the length for small children, for example, 2 hours in one session can be very difficult, and then you get a small break, and then you go for two more hours. And so there's the timing challenges, sometimes just the logistical elements of dealing with maturation or maturity. Young children, teenagers, single adults, young single adults. These are all unique challenges. So let's, if you will, because I have experts here. We have an expert with primary. We have an expert dealing with Relief Society and issues which encompass every person in the church. So we have experts here. Let's jump in and dive in. Let's talk about a few of these things and share some of the things that you've experienced, some of the things that you've taught, you've gleaned, you've learned. This would be really great. For example, let's start with Saturday. What are some things that you've learned with making conference a conference experience? I've heard some people say, I didn't even know it was on Saturday. I had no idea. And that's not to fault them in the least. Some people are not made aware, and then we hate to break it to them, but prior to 1977, conference used to be 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But we have these two sessions, Saturday issues, challenges and solutions. I love this part. We look at challenges not to say, here's a challenge, but also solutions that are working.
Well, I know that Saturdays are really busy, but general conference to my husband and I is such a big deal. We absolutely love it. And so weeks before general conference, we try to emphasize that general conference is coming up, and it's such an important thing that we try to encourage the kids to make sure they know that that's coming.
That's good.
To clear their calendar, because this is a big event. And I think if you have a positive attitude about it and you have a lot of excitement about it, that it will eventually filter down and affect the kids. It is hard when they're younger, but our kids, that they are older now, and they love it. They have the enthusiasm and the excitement for it that we had hoped.
This is really good. I like the fact that you're preparing early so that you can try to maybe prioritize things. Here's something that we usually have going on Saturday, but we could shift this one to make room for conference. It's rather than springing, I like how you do it. Up front, with time to spare, rather than springing on, oh, by the way, this morning is conference, like Fast Sunday. I've learned this as a parent, is it's better to prepare our family for Fast Sunday prior to Sunday morning, as the spoon of cereal is going in their mouth. Oh, by the way, it's Fast Sunday. And then they're all famished. Oh, I don't know if I can live the rest of the day. I'm so hungry. I'm like, wait a second, you just barely woke up. But if we talk about it early, Fast Sunday has been a very different experience in our home preparing for it. And I like what you're saying is doing this for conference. Other thoughts on Saturday of making this, Linda?
Well, I'm not thinking Saturday specifically. I'm thinking preparation again before conference.
Okay.
Praying that we'll be ready for it. For one thing, opens your minds and hearts up to it, and realizing, I think if you're praying specifically for those that will be speaking to us, then you've got your minds opened a little more and ready to maybe put in their hearts that Saturday is special.
Is that important, by the way, to pray for those who are speaking? Just wondering.
Boy, it is to me.
and that was a loaded question. Since you have spoken in general conference, as far as that goes, it is a very meaningful experience. I think some people just take it for granted. Oh, they just stand up and they just deliver a talk and stuff. But it is a different and a unique experience, and prayers and support beforehand, at least in my experience, are very much appreciated and needed.
They are. And I'm thinking also that I was thinking of Elder Packer's statement that we learn more from our children than they ever learn from us. And I'm learning more all the time from my own children. They're much better at this than I was. But we tried as a young family to say, okay, Saturday, we realize that's the difficult day. So what if that the prophet always opened with conference? We really need to listen to the prophet. So we'd start there. Our children are much better with their children, and they make it, they do some of the things Aaron's going to tell us about to make conference engaging for them so that they want to stay.
Oh, that's great.
My daughter's one of them that tried a little activity with her twin 2-year-old boys.
2-year-olds.
They stayed in the room the entire 4 hours on Saturday because she had engaged them in meaningful ways. And I'm not going to take Erin's thunder away because she's got some wonderful ideas on this.
I like this as the preparation and intentional attitude towards conference. These are not just kind of fly by the seat of your pants trying to figure something out on the spur of the moment. That does happen. I will never take away from inspiration that comes at a moment's glance. But I like that there's an intentional plan here. Here's something we're going to try with our two-year-olds. Here's something we're going to do to prepare for Saturday and Sunday sessions. And the concept, there's some things you don't want to miss. There are elements today which weren't available when I was growing up. Like, for example, on Saturday sessions, you in some cases you can record and you can replay really quickly if you're at a ball game or something that can't be missed, then you can do that. Or for me, I've had a lot of children with athletics and commitments. But I'll have to admit, this has been a little embarrassing at times, but also very poignant for me throughout my experiences, is finding ways to enjoy conferences even when I'm standing on the side of a soccer field. And this is the embarrassing part. There have been some conference sessions that were so gripping and moving to me that I got a little emotional, and people are looking at me thinking, boy, this dad is really into this soccer game. He is emotional, and they can't see that I have my headset on and that I'm actually listening to prophets, seers, and revelators give pertinent and very inspiring revelation. So there are ways that we can work to be able to do this, but I love the fact of intentional making this a priority. And finding ways to make this the most important experience, because it is so important. Erin?
And I think with older kids too, it is difficult. Well, sometimes you'd like to be able to force you know them to do certain things. It's easier when they're younger to say, this is, you know, general conference and we're all going to be home and we're all going to listen. But it gets hard as the kids get older to say, you will be home for general conference. You know, I've learned, and it's taken me years to learn, that guilt is not a good motivator. It's not the best way to motivate. And, you know, you share your enthusiasm and your testimony about conference, but with older children, you really can't force them to do anything.
So what do you do?
You invite.
Well, you invite.
I like this.
And testify and show your excitement. And really, love is the very best motivator. You know, this scripture in Doctrine and Covenants 121:41. It's talking about no power, influence can or ought to be maintained by virtue of the priesthood, but it gives us direction for how we can motivate. And it is by using persuasion and long-suffering and gentleness. Those are the ways to motivate. Love is the best motivator. And, you know, and guilt is just not, we've learned that guilt is not a good way to do it.
Well, so. We don't need to impose guilt in Heavenly Father's plan. Guilt is an outcome of usually doing things that are not right, and it comes of its own accord.
They
we don't
learn.
Have to have it impressed.
They do. They learn.
They do. And I like this invitation experience and this persuasion with long suffering. It's not one invitation, but yet at the same token, it's not an invitation every 3 seconds. And that's where the Spirit comes in and helps us know when to push a little harder and when to pull a little bit back. But I love what you're saying is invitations are key. Because that's what the Holy Ghost does, constantly inviting.
We talked a little bit about last time about counseling together.
Right.
So there's power in counseling together as a couple and as a family, and discussing ways that we can make this more meaningful.
Ooh,
and will
like
work
this
for our
lot.
Family. And I think if you couple family traditions with general conference, and I know Matt's going to tell us a little more about this. I'm just dying to hear what their family does. They're a fun, fun family, and I'm going to glean.
Yes.
I'm opening it up for you, Matt.
Oh, well, traditions are always beneficial when they have an outcome, I think. So if you have a tradition that you do something like we always eat this or something, if it doesn't really have an outcome where it binds together, that's just a food tradition, not necessarily a meaningful tradition. And I don't want to go overboard on this, but most meaningful traditions have an intended outcome. For the Israelites, they were rich in tradition, you know, and so they would have Passover, they would have feasts galore. And we're thinking, yeah, we need more of those because we want to eat more. But their feasts were actually tied to rituals of significance. It was a time of gathering. It was an intentional purpose. And so I look at some of the traditions, and I'm anxious to hear yours as well. Just basic, simple traditions of it is a gathering time. We gather in the same room. It might be easier to go through and go into different areas as far as that goes, but we try to be together as far as that would be. I'm gonna let Erin tell a little bit, because I can see by some of the things like conference activities for children and resources, because you're up to date on where we can get some of these resources. But some of the traditions that we also have are, we do have food involved in conferences, and my kids will always talk about waffles, strawberries, and whipped cream. It's a conference treat. As a matter of fact, they go into a little bit of a talisman if we ever eat them. It's not conference because they're like, well, wait, where's the prophetic instruction as far as that goes? Where we sit, how we sit together becomes a traditional element. I didn't even know that these were traditions until the kids started bringing up, no, this is where you sit, Dad. And I come over here and I lean against you on this one. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I was aware that that was traditional for one child, which is extended throughout even to grown years, you know, kind of a thing as far as that goes. Well, Erin, tell us a little bit more about things we can do, especially with children.
Okay. Before I say that, I just want to say that you make a good point that when you have these conference traditions, that it gives you an opportunity to plan ahead a little bit so that you're not having, you know, a panic in between sessions going, oh, what are we going to do for dinner? We need to run to the store or this or that.
Right.
You know, it's good to have plans and preparations so that mom can enjoy conference. You know, she's not worrying about trying to get a meal on or whatever.
That's a novel idea.
Yeah.
But this is good. Planning does provide that opportunity.
Yeah, and I love that about having some traditions so that you have some ideas in mind of what you're going to do so that everybody can enjoy conference and enjoy the whole day and you're not, you know, hectically trying to throw things together or, you know, make plans for meals or whatever.
This is really good. You know, and I like this concept is the planning part. And when you find a tradition that's working with families, because they're very different as far as that goes, like I know a family that they get dressed in their Sunday clothes to watch General Conference because it helps them to be able to focus, actually. I knew another family that they did the same thing and then they would sit on hard chairs, you know, kind of a thing. And I'm like going, I don't know if this is going to work in my family. But the point being is it worked for their family because they found that they were less likely to sleep and doze off either literally or mentally. And so they would counsel together and say, here's something that works for our family. And that became kind of a traditional element. And it's not to be too rigid, in the same token, not to be too loose. My family likes to wear their pajamas or stuff, and sometimes they'll wear their conference pajamas, and it just cracks me up. You know, you have conference pajamas, but it's once again, it's a traditional element, but they're connecting with the experience. Does that make sense? And I like this planning. And then what sticks, run with it to allow the outcome to be rich.
And it's important to realize that different children have different learning styles and listening styles too. You know, I have children that have to have something to work on during conference so that they can listen and stay awake. They have to be busy working on something. And other kids will just take notes and that's fine for them. But, you know, children do listen differently.
I was going to say, more is caught than taught a lot of times. We have a daughter, and I'll just make this very real, that as a teenager, she just slept through every General Conference, and we thought she wasn't getting a thing. She was in the room.
She may be the only teenager that slept
through
General Conference.
I think she was. But here's hope for those that have that experience in their home and think that there's – anyway, she did sleep, we thought, until she now has five children of her own, and she makes conference a much more rich experience than I had made for her. She's the daughter we referred to last time who has – tradition in their family of making conference goals rather than New Year's resolutions. And so she's made conference much more meaningful with her own children than I made it for her. And so she caught more than was taught.
Oh, this is so great. Thank you so much for sharing that because I think this is important. And you said a line, Linda, that I think is really critical. There is hope for those. And I know that that was just a line in passing, but yet that is a critical element is I know as a parent sometimes we want so desperately for our children and our grandchildren to experience things that we hold so dear. And as you're pointing out, Erin, we can't guilt trip him, nor can we force them to love each other or love the Lord in the ways that we love. We can provide opportunities and we can provide experiences. Sometimes you pull your hair out saying, oh, they're not catching it. What can we do to make them stay awake? Sometimes things, as you say, are caught in ways that we don't know. And sometimes things are going to work out when we think we're failing and we're not providing. And we are actually providing by whether she would realize or not, by having her there and giving her an opportunity as parents. And I love this, as you watch conference and things, there is hope. I have a firm testimony. There is hope. You know, I think back in my own experience, we would go to general priesthood meeting back in the olden days, and we finally started getting broadcast capabilities. So we would go and we'd sit in the stake center together as priesthood brothers, and I'd sit with my father and my brothers. And they would turn on the television. Back then, they didn't have the video projection type of thing. Turn on television sets, several of them strategically placed in our stake center. And then they would turn all the lights off so we could see them well. And I remember thinking as a 13-year-old, something's wrong with this picture. This is the invitation to go to sleep. It was a unique challenge because the setting almost was conducive to sleeping more than staying awake. And I realized we were trying to be able to see the TVs. Does this make that was
yes.
a challenge?
Yes, yes. yes.
And sometimes we make our homes in a sense where it's a very challenging experience. Where we're almost inviting distraction rather than focusing or
attraction.
Attraction. I like this. And thoughts on this? Of what can we do to make this a little bit more of an attraction?
Well, if conference isn't a pleasant experience, they're not going to love conference. And so I think it's important that they are allowed to learn their own way or enjoy it their own way, or they're going to hate conference. You know, you can't force them to sit and be still and listen for 2 hours if that's not the best way for them to listen or to love conference. And so I think it's important that parents need to let the children figure out the best way that they can enjoy conference.
And know their children well enough to be able to make suggestions sometimes. If you have someone that's a tactile learner, hands-on, and you recognize that, then you can suggest to them so that they can learn how to do things as well. It's kind of the counseling part.
Right.
Children, parents, siblings, Linda.
Right. And invite them with love. You know, make it an atmosphere of love and not guilt. I mean, or they're going to hate conference. They're going to hate the experience of conference. I think it's important to make it a pleasant experience.
That's nice. That's nice.
Speaking of environment, I know of one family that before general conference, they take their family up. Of course, they live close by, so they're able to do this. Worldwide, this doesn't work.
Right.
But they take them up to Temple Square and walk them around there. They take them to the conference center and take a tour so they can see what's going to happen in there. Their children are too young to attend conference, but they can at least feel where it's happening and get a feel for that. Other families bring their children up to general conference and go, and they're able to have their children sit in the tabernacle or in one of the other buildings on Temple Square because they can't go into the conference center because recording purposes, but they can experience in other ways and they're there together as
this
a family.
This is nice. It sets a nice setting for it.
Sure.
And by the way, this is a nice thing with the technology available today is families and worldwide, they can actually go online and have virtual tours of the conference center, of Temple Square, of all these things. And so while it's not exactly standing in, there is a virtual element where they do get a sense of how these things take place. And so I love this, and it can be available to anyone who can access internet, et cetera.
Yeah, that's one of the resources I was going to talk to you about at conferencegames.lds.org.
Okay, say that one more time.
Conferencegames.lds.org.
Okay.
There are all kinds of resources. And one that you just talked about, you can do virtual tours of Temple Square, the Beehive House, the Conference Center, and children lead the tours on this website.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so even if, you know, you don't live close by, you can have an experience, you know, for your children where they're led, you know, on a tour by other children. Also on this website, there are games and
like
coloring.
Like what, for example? Games like what?
Like matching games. There's actually a computer game where you can match the general authorities, you know, with their names. You know, when our kids were young and we were living away from Utah, we were lucky if we could hear conference on the radio. And so we would get the pictures of the general authorities and, you know, before conference, we would put these pictures up and we would read about the different general authorities so that the children knew who they were listening to. And when, you know, if Elder Perry was speaking, we'd take his picture and we'd prop it up, you know, wherever we were sitting. And so the kids were looking at the picture of Elder Perry while they listened to him speak.
That's great.
You know, I think this is a great way for the children to learn who the general authorities are and become familiar with their voices. There are coloring pages. There's this little general conference notebook. And there's a place for children to take notes. You know, all of the general authorities are here with their pictures.
Oh, that's great.
And they can take notes. And they have a bingo where you can print off 7 different bingo sheets and, you know, use whatever markers you want to.
We always used food with our children
and
their favorite
M&Ms
snacks.
Right.
Yes, and so it was always an
so
incentive
important.
To make sure that you paid attention because you got to eat them as soon as you got your bingo.
And also in the March and the September issues of The Friend, there's always a new activity that the children can do while they're listening to conference.
So in other words, we're not lacking in resources to provide opportunities to connect with general conferences with young children. So the primary is doing a fabulous job.
And the Friend magazine, yes.
This is so great. As a matter of fact, I couldn't help but think while you were talking about this that, wow, these are activities for children, for primary age children. This is so great. But then I was thinking at the same time, wait a second, some of these sound pretty darn good. Maybe these are interesting to me. Or our producer was even mentioning that she might like to resurrect some of her childhood memories and games and stuff like that as a young adult, you know, kind of a thing. So whatever we need to do, connect. But let's talk talk a little bit more about that. So we have a lot of resources. What do we do with teens? That's a little different audience. What can we do as parents to help our teens connect with conference?
I think that's where traditions kind of come in. If they're used to it, then it's going to be a pleasant experience. My one daughter had mentioned that she knew as a teenager that we were all going to go over to Grandpa's house on Sunday night of conference, and there'd always be a little food and stuff. But she knew that she was going to be asked about General Conference by Grandpa, and so she wanted to go ready for
that.
Oh,
this is great.
Another thing that we did, I learned this as a Sunday school teacher, that you had mentioned a quote by President Hinckley where he made some promises that conference will do four things. We had done that for years as a family. We took those four things that he said that would happen from General Conference.
And you need to tell us the four things.
And the four things are: you'll be uplifted, your resolution to do what is right will be stronger, you'll find solutions to your problems, and you'll be led to thank the Lord for what you have heard. And so we used to take those four things and say, okay, which one? Find a talk that one of these things was born out because we promise it'll happen. And that was effective as teenagers, for our teenagers to tune into that. It gave them a reason to listen and to find something that would do help them in their lives.
That is so good. Once again, sometimes with teenagers, it's and this is a general statement, but sometimes it's like herding cats. You just get one, and then all of a sudden one's escaped, etc. But providing gentle, inviting, spirit-born guidance really does help. And I like what you're doing is helping focus and saying, look for, find these things. We found that very helpful in our conference setting with teenagers is let's look for this or here comes a talk by Elder Holland. These are things in the past. You'll want to look, remember for this. And they'll say, oh, and they refocuses where they start to glean. With teenagers, we found it's very helpful that they know those who labor among them. And so they're old enough to know a little bit about the prophets, seers, and revelators. We talk about their lives, significant experience in their lives. So when you have, for example, an Elder Ballard talking, they kind of connect. Oh, this is what he did for a profession. They start to understand some of the stories. My daughter, who's a young single adult, she loved this most recent general conference because she could almost fill in some of the stories that were being told. So President Eyring's talking about his experience of how he came to Ricks College at the time. And she's like, I know this story because she's heard that many times, and it's a personal experience because she feels that she knows of him. So little things like that is to direct and to help contact or at least focus their thoughts is helpful with teens. Linda?
One other quick thought, and I'm sorry to take so much time.
No.
I was so impressed by a friend that I talked to this week who had already applied General Conference. This was Tuesday that I talked with this friend, and he had already taken to heart one of the talks and had accepted the invitation by one of the brethren to pray about doing something for others. It was 7:30 in the morning. I talked to him on Tuesday morning. He had already had an opportunity to serve because he had prayed about that. Oh. He had acted on General Conference. I think that can make things more meaningful for teenagers, for all of us.
This is so good. I like the participatory experience where he is doing that and then helping, as we invite, we've mentioned that is let's work on something together. Just the participation of parents to be able to watch themselves and to set the example of whatever works. In our family, I didn't realize this was a tradition, but to be able to almost be lumped together in the same room. I mentioned that in the same room. I didn't really get in details on that. Lumped together where you have people lying on each other and stuff like that. Our kids associate. It's kind of like I think of the pride. You have all the lions and stuff going and they're just all together. But it's really a connective experience as a family with the brethren. And that's something that they enjoy. But the fact that parents are there, lumped in there, and children are there, and anyone is welcome is there. One of my most favorite experiences in General Conference, I'll be honest, this is going to be odd, is common consent. It's the sustainings. It's a meaningful experience to me.
Meaningful.
All of my children they know that about their dad. And as a matter of fact, I don't know if it's because they humor me, but that's become a very important part of our family. They will all sit up. Mm-hmm. They'll get ready, and wherever we are, whether it's in our home, it happens on Saturday. There have been times we've been in the car together, and we are listening to conference, and we will raise our hands vigorously as an entire family. And that has become, actually, this is a conference necessity. It's a doctrinal part of General Conference. It's a family tradition for us is where we are united together in raising our hands together, and it has been a meaningful experience. Together, where we're doing it together.
I second it.
You're all in favor.
Yes.
Oh, this is great. Well, sadly, we are just right at the edge of our time here, but I would like to just ask you one last thing. If you were to share with anyone that would come up, whether it be our listeners or someone in person, and say, here's something that has been very meaningful to me in making conference important in our family. I know I'm putting you on the spot, but what's one thing that you might share is this has been an important thing in our family that has been, worked well, and we feel that this is important, a general conference in families.
Well, Erin? I said this earlier, but just emphasizing what an opportunity it is to gather together and to hear the word of the Lord for us for right now. It's just such a unique opportunity, and it's what sets our church apart, and what a blessing it is. We just are so grateful to know that we have a living prophet at the head of our church that receives inspiration for us for right now. It's an opportunity we never want to miss.
That's so good. And I think that for me, the point I'm gleaning here is if you understand that, you're more likely to participate in whatever form. If you understand how important, like you were saying, you said that so nicely, is when we start to really have that sink in of what this opportunity is, then we find ways to make the means to get to that greater end. Mm-hmm. Sadly, so many times we focus only on means and no one understands what we're really trying to get to. And I like your approach here. This is very powerful. Linda?
Oh, I'm just thinking of how excited I get at the thought of General Conference. I love how my husband goes throughout the house and turns on every radio, every TV. Although we're always only in one room.
You fill your
together,
home.
Together, we fill our home with it, and that starts with him, and I'm just so grateful for that priesthood leadership in our home. And I think of my son. I've left my son out of this conversation because I only have one, and I have five daughters, so they've kind of overtaken what I've said. But he was such a gentle, quiet support, and I'm thinking of the priesthood power that was in our home. I always associate that with General Conference, and what a sweet umbrella that was of protection to our home.
That's so good. Well, I appreciate your comments. When I think of conference, I think of in family and in homes, I think of what a blessing it has been before, during, and then after. There are still conferences that have sacred, tender parts in our home and in our family, and also not just with children, within our marriage. Experiences that we've had together and shared together that have been lasting years past. I still think of my experiences that have changed my life from General Conference with for example, Spencer W. Kimball when I was 13 years old. And he was saying, decide right now in this very room when you're sitting next to those that love you and you love the very most. And I'm sitting next to my father as a 13-year-old. He says, decide what you're going to do in your life. Make the decisions now, and then you don't have to make them in the future.
I remember that.
Changed my life. So whether it be my father making sure I was there, I don't even remember how he got me there, but I was there.
Yeah.
I was there, and he was there. Little things of however that unfolded, it did unfold. And so I'm grateful for that. To my daughters who take notes, which was a strategy to start with, to stay awake, pure and simple. That's what it was all about. But now as they're older, voracious note takers seeking, they write their questions and then go through. And yet those are treasured journals. Whatever it is that we can do to make that connection for a General Conference, because Erin, as you were saying, prophets, seers, and revelators are so vital. And Linda, as you pointed out, is I love that quote as well with President Hinckley, is we will find solutions to our problems and to our joys. And I know that that is true. Thank you so much for your comments.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. You have been listening to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.